In your bulletin is an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you track with the points that I want to make in this sermon on this subject that we're going to be talking about. So grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading an article this past week, and it talked about the dangers of anger and what acting out on that emotion can do to your life. And the title of this particular article was How One Angry Email Nearly Ruined My Career. And if you just go do a Google search with the words anger and ruin, you can find a number of posts concerning anger and how destructive it is when we act on it and use that emotion on others. And this problem is becoming more and more prevalent in our culture. We are an angry people who, unlike the prescription from James, we are quick to judge, quick to anger. We are slow to understand others. And in the process, we are ruining our lives. This is a very real and massive threat that we face. In fact, it's to the point where the times that we live in have a title, and they call this the age of outrage. And to go down this road leads to all kinds of problems, which are problems that our God wants to save us from. And so he has some wisdom to share with us that can spare us these problems that the culture at large suffers from. Because when we do act out on our anger, it usually means a whole lot of trouble that we could avoid if we would take a different approach to how we handle situations. And that's why the title of this sermon is Don't Hit Send. It's in relation to that article I was reading, but in particular, it's about this topic that I'm preaching on. Because when it comes to anger, the worst thing we can do to others and to ourselves is to send that destructive emotion out to the world. So when we act out on and live in our anger, it makes the world a worse place, and our enemy loves this. And this is what God says to us in his word. He has a much better way for us if we will just listen to him. So let's talk about that and the dangers of anger, and how we can, by the power of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, avoid these problems. So everything our God tells us is for our benefit and for the welfare of his kids. And so one of the things that we know now from the advancements in science and technology and medicine is that, according to medical professionals, the effects of anger are real and they are serious. And some of the effects of constant anger include headaches, digestive imbalances, insomnia, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems, heart attacks, and strokes, just to name a few things. Or as I like to call that list, Thursday night at my house. But the effects of anger are huge, and they are destructive, to the point that Christ warns us that anger, when carried out and chased after, can actually be destructive enough to land us in hell. And he doesn't want that for his brothers and sisters. So let's go to the outline here and get started. Your first blanks. God wants us to understand how much trouble our anger can cause us. It causes a spiritual, mental, and physical damage, and it can cause the same damage to others. Why does God care so much about how we use our emotions? Because he loves us and he loves his world. When we live according to his plan, it improves the world, and he wants to make this broken world better, and we have a huge role to play in that. Our God has powerful and important uses for you and me in his kingdom. That's not a place for us to drag our anger and grudges around with us, because anger, when left unchecked by the word of God, leads to a very, very bad place. This is what Christ says in the Gospels. One time he was talking to some people and he said, you guys understand the concept that murdering is wrong. Picking up a knife and killing somebody, or picking up stones and killing somebody. You guys get that that is wrong. But you don't seem to understand that there is a problem with your hearts. And when you're angry and hate in your heart, you are murdering. So if that other stuff wasn't bad enough to get our attention, this is where we ought to perk up and listen, because that's pretty serious stuff he's getting at. And this is your next blank. Having anger and hatred in our hearts towards another person is the same as murder. So Christ wants us to understand what God's definition of murder is and how serious all of this can be. And you know, I think I can safely say that by the physical definition of murder, Nobody in here is probably guilty. But by Christ's definition, and let's remember, he's the one who gets to make the rules about all this stuff. By that definition, everybody sitting in this room today is a murderer. Because who hasn't been irrationally angry with somebody? Who hasn't held a grudge? Who hasn't wished harm or bad things upon somebody else? Well, according to God's word, when we do those things, it is the same as murdering another person. And we ought to let that sink in for a minute. Our anger mostly comes from a place of pride. And what happens if that pride is not broken and put in check? We can end up as the enemies of God. Pride is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. We don't want to be in line or in league for that. And that's a big deal for eternity if we are the enemies of God forever and ever. So if we don't break that sinful nature, it will lead us to act and believe in ways that will cause us trouble, not just for the next life, but also in this life. So God wants us to understand what is at stake here and what anger really is doing. And what it's really doing is actually hurting life. It hurts the lives of those we are angry at. It hurts us. It damages the quality of life that we could be living. Life is precious. It's a gift from God. It belongs to Him, and He has great things in store for us and our lives if we will just follow His design. So He wants us to avoid the temptation to fall into this trap and to act on it. That means being self-aware and avoiding those things that can cause terrible damage. So, what is the most common vehicle or channel that we use to display or carry out our anger? Well, it's our communication. Maybe you saw this horrible tragedy that happened in Branson this past summer with that tourist boat that sank, killing 17 people in the process. And witnesses and passengers have all said that the weather that came up that overtook the boat was quick and it was powerful, so much so that it was able to sink a huge boat like that. And we're from the Midwest. We understand the power of weather. We understand how that can happen, and we understand the power of something like that scenario. Weather is capable of creating that kind of destruction. We get that. But God says the way that we treat and talk to others is actually more powerful than bad weather, than the wind or the waves. So the question for us is, are we using that power for good, for the glory of God and for the good of the world, or are we setting the world on fire and doing the work of the enemy? So next blanks, our mouths are the weapon we most commonly use to murder others. To God, running down a man with your car is just like running down a man with your words. And we can do it in such seemingly innocent ways, and unfortunately, we usually do that to the people we are closest to. And so God has been telling us all along, words can build up or words can tear down. And we know now, after study after study after study, psychologically, scientifically, medicinally, that God is right on this. And when our words are used to demean others or discount their worth or devalue them, we are guilty of what Christ is getting at. Even when we're doing it behind people's backs, it's still damaging to them and to us. And again, this is what God wants to spare us from. From hurting others and hurting ourselves. In fact, Christ addresses this in what we call the greatest commandment. He says, love the Lord your God with everything you have and love your neighbors as yourselves. And so next blank, we shouldn't kill ourselves with words and actions, and we shouldn't kill others with words and actions. It's poison to the soul, both our souls and the souls of others. I love what the Large Catechism says about this, and I included this quote in your bulletin. It says, the heart must not be ill-disposed toward anyone or wish another person ill in anger and hatred. To do this is devilish. Maybe you've heard this story before about a man and his wife who had a fight, and that evening they were giving each other the silent treatment. And so the wife typically got up early, and that night after the fight, the man realized that he needed her help to wake up at 5 o'clock the next morning for an early flight out for a business trip. But because of his pride, he didn't want to be the first one to break the silence. So he wrote a note to her that said, please wake me up at 5 a.m. And he put it on her nightstand. The next morning, he woke up and looked at the clock, saw that it was 7:05 and that he had missed his flight. He was totally ticked off, and he hopped out of bed to see why his wife hadn't woken him up at the right time. And just as his feet hit the floor, he saw a note on his nightstand, and it said, "It's 5 a.m., time for you to get up." Yeah, who won that skirmish? Nobody. And this is the kind of thing that we're called to not try and do to each other. Because if you keep doing this stuff, it leads to massive damage, and this is where it will go if we don't keep this kind of thing in check. So we're called to not act out on anger and be vindictive and hold grudges and be bitter and spiteful and jealous and rude. We're called to be in control, not wish harm on people and not want bad things to happen to others. Now, something I need to address here is the fact that there is such a thing as righteous anger. In fact, we are called to be angry at sin and the things that sin brings into the world. When we see injustice or suffering, we are called to get angry about the fact that sin is in the world. God gets angry. By some accounts in the Old Testament, it mentions God's wrath or anger 375 times. Jesus got angry. We know that. But he never turned that anger into hatred for another person made in the image of God. And we probably just ought to step off of our righteous anger soapboxes, because everybody likes to play this card. And you know how we in the culture define what righteous anger is? It's the anger that I have. All the anger that the rest of the world has, that stuff is evil. But whatever I'm angry about, that's righteous. And God goes, "Nah, let's not do this. Let's follow my design and word and do things my way." So what do you do when you're tempted to be sinfully angry? Next blank, God calls us to not act on our anger. How does that look in our lives? Luke 6 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Matthew 5, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Mark 11, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." Don't we want to receive the mercy and love and forgiveness of God? I think we all do. Then we are called to give that to others, just as our Father in heaven gives that to us. Anger used the wrong way will destroy us. It will destroy others. So let's listen to God and avoid all the troubles that he is warning us of. You know, it's been shocking to see the damage that's been caused by Hurricane Florence, hasn't it? I never get over that concept of that much water coming into a place and causing that kind of destruction. And USA Today ran a story where several experts in this field were interviewed. And they've stated that they think one of the biggest mistakes that was made during the time before Florence was when they downgraded it from a Category 4 hurricane to a Category 2. And this article touched on the possibility that there could have been fewer deaths, because when it was downgraded, people in the area mistakenly got a false sense of security and downplayed the potential for damage. And they stayed in the area instead of going to safety where they could have lived. And this is so similar to what God is trying to get us to understand here. There is a huge and destructive threat ready to take us out. It's called anger. And our God wants us to be aware of how powerful this threat is. We would be foolish to downplay its effects. But he has promised us that he will give us strength and instruction that guides us to a new way of processing this emotion and dealing with others, a way that will take the power from this potential damage and instead give us control over this emotion so that we can be a benefit to others and to ourselves, so that we can promote life in a world that desperately needs to be delivered from the hands of death. See, you can't say, "I love God, but I hate that guy." God says everyone must love his brother. If you love God, say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. And all of those things that we've been talking about today, those are things that Christ killed on the cross because they're evil. Why would we want to dredge those things up out of the pit of hell and make them part of our lives? As people of the cross, we're called to something new and good and powerful. As people who are saved, we are actually part of the plan of salvation for others now, and we are called to take the power of God to the world. And the best way we can do that is in the way we witness to others through our lives and with our words. It's good for them, it's good for others, and it's good for us. So So last blanks. When we spend our time trying to love our enemies instead of paying them back, their lives are better and our lives are better. We will have more peace, confidence, and energy in our lives, and we make the world a better place. And that can happen when we work to be loving and humble. Just as Christ used his life to love us, we need to use our lives to love others. Let's send that out into the world. God bless it to be so. Amen.